Today is a great day. If you've seen the banner when you came in the church, it said Faith Promise. And so today, this morning, both AM services is Faith Promise Sunday. And this, how many people don't know what Faith Promise is? Just raise, have never heard of it before, okay? Before you saw the sign, okay? Good, thank you. Okay, you know, you're going to be refreshed in what it actually is today. Pastor Shabelli and Pastor Schaller are both going to speak about it, one about the scope and one about the philosophy, one of the scope of missions and one of the philosophy of Faith Promise. And today, you will have an opportunity to actually do a pledge. These are actually the pledge cards. You don't have them. You will have them later. And everyone, when they came in, should have gotten one of these, or a couple should have gotten one of these, the Wings of Glory. Inside of there is a list of countries that we're in, and also the list of sent missionaries from GGWO. That is not an extensive list, but that's one sent by GGWO. On our website, you will see a complete, extensive list of all people that have an account with Greater Grace World Outreach. So just as a small introduction that what we're going to do today is at the end of the service, we're going to give you the opportunity to make a pledge. And also throughout the entire week of missions, you will have that opportunity also. So we want us to be considering this. This is simply a great opportunity to participate in the same mind, in the same heart with a missionary in what our church is doing throughout the world. Okay, so I think that gives you a good idea what's going to happen this morning. Thanks.
Okay. It's very difficult to keep up with how many churches, because every time you make this, something happens. Somebody plants a new church, five new churches, three new churches everywhere. So I want to read that verse that Pastor Eugene talked about just for a moment. Excuse me. The statement that was made that God, it really struck me, God had a one and only son. And he was a missionary. And that's an amazing thought, if you think about that. And he had one son, and he went from heaven to earth and then back again. And it's really incredible. What's the name of the street that we live on? What is it? Moravia Park Drive. I was reading the history of the Moravians today, and this is interesting. One out of every 60 Moravians was a missionary. In the Protestant world at the time, one out of every 5,000 Protestants were a missionary. One out of every 5,000. They were kind of unusual and unique. One out of every 60 Moravians was a missionary. They sent out more missionaries in 20 years than the Protestant church sent out in 200. In 20 years, they did more than all of Christianity, Protestant, Anglican, excuse me, in 200 years. And that's remarkable. They had a great, excuse me, they had a great leader, Count Zinzendorf. He did have his little quirks, things like that, but he had a great vision. And Hebrews 11:13, I love how it starts off. These all died in faith. I used to be troubled by that verse. Exactly what does that mean? And really what it means is all of these in Hebrews 11 were controlled by a life of faith. Right to the end. I think about Amy Carmichael, 84 years old, still a missionary. Raymond Lull, 79 years old, still a missionary. Jonathan Goforth at 70 went to Manchuria. There's hope. Yes. Livingstone, he died early at 60, but he's still a missionary. Mueller, 93, missions. Hudson Taylor, 73, missions. John Wesley preaching at 85 and riding on horseback thousands of miles, missions. And I thought, how many prayers did the Moravians pray? And that's the reason we're sitting here today. On what's the name of the street? Moravia Park Drive. And that's amazing. So these all died in faith. They were controlled by faith. And after they were controlled by faith, they saw a vision afar off. They had a faith vision. And really, this is what this is all about. As Pastor Stevens maybe was preaching with two or three or five or seven people in Maine, he had a faith vision. He saw afar off. He saw afar off. So you had a faith life with a faith vision. And then persuaded, mentally won over by faith that this mission is going to go into all the world with the gospel. Then it was embraced, a faith fellowship. And then it was spoken about as a witness, a faith testimony. And it's incredible when you look at what's behind me in all of these different countries. I just changed that 741, so it's nice that it says that. It's actually 76 countries because we just planted a new church in Morocco. Would you stand up? There's a brand new church in Marrakesh and Tangiers, Morocco. Wow. Great, great couple. Wow. So, a vision. We have 268 churches in Africa. I'm not sure what it says there, and I'm not going to keep turning around and looking. We have 296 in Asia, 7 in Central Asia, 78 in Europe, 31 in Latin America, 3 in the Middle East, and 47 in North America. And that's incredible. You think what happened. Just like these men, they died in faith. They died in faith. They were controlled by a faith life. And so when you think about this mission, we've been averaging 43 churches every year. It's amazing, isn't it? 43 church plants a year around the world. And the scope of our mission is incredible. And I believe, God, that there'll be a 1,000 churches in 100 countries sooner than you think. So when we think about faith promise, we think about really the importance of saying, yes, God, what can I do? You know, the promise is an amazing word, faith promise. The word promise is a certain Greek word, epigelia, and it means simply this, that God has given me a personal word. It's grace given. It's personal to me. There's an eternal purpose. The Spirit performs in it, and it gives glory to God. We have a faith promise from God. Here we are on what street?
Moravia Park Drive.
And their prayers, maybe hundreds of years ago, their prayers were heard. They didn't see afar. Did they see afar off? They didn't see this place and all of the affiliates around the world. But they saw afar off. They saw what God would do. They could see. They had a vision that goes beyond. And that's what really giving is all about. Giving. Faith. Promise. Really how God can use each and every one of us as we are initiated to by God and live by faith and embrace it and confess it and persuaded by it. So Father, thank you. Thank you today for this vision. Without a vision, people run wild. Without a vision, they perish. But thank you that you've given us a vision. These Moravians were tailors, watchmakers, bakers, doctors, teachers, and farmers. But yet in their heart, every Moravian was a missionary. A missionary, everyone. They had a message. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would never perish, but have forever everlasting life. Have everlasting life. What a message we have. What a vision we have. As we see the scope of the vision, let's pick up a telescope and bring it further. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, let's watch this short video clip of a pastor that's on the field to give us an idea of what we do and how we do it and how you can actually participate in this. So this, just imagine this around the world in these 741 countries, okay? 741 churches, sorry.
Hi, my name is Pastor Samuel Muhima, and over the last 19 years, you've been behind the work in Uganda and in East Africa. As a matter of fact, last year, within 1 year, within the same region, we had 10 churches planted. 10 churches planted. And it's because you are behind these men in the field. And we want to say thank you for supporting them. These men know that they are people behind them, and that's why they are able to move in different places and planting these churches. Last year, December, we had one of our pastors getting sick of liver, and he called me and he said, I need to go for operation. We spoke to God, but the other group we needed to speak to is Baltimore. And when we spoke to Baltimore, you responded. And we had him in a hospital. And when I saw him in the hospital, he couldn't speak. He was really completely down. But then because of the help and the doctors, he kind of like revived. But when he came back into his senses, these are the words he spoke to me. He said, tell the people in Baltimore and thank them. Because without them, even this small time I had, I would have not received it. He's now home to be with the Lord. The wife and the family called me. I was there at the burial, and after that, they called me and they said, tell the Baltimore church that we feel we are part of the big family. And they were very appreciative that you were able to help. The pastor was in the field, very sick. And even when he passed on, you were able to help and have continued to stand behind this family. We want to say again, thank you. There are so many stories that we can say of what God has done, but God has used you. You have followed the pattern in Acts chapter 2. The early church saw the need and they supplied. They went ahead and helped. And that's what you have done. I want to say thank you from my heart and on behalf of many pastors that you haven't seen, but you are behind them. So thank you. May God bless you.
Would you turn in your Bibles, please, for our message this morning to Genesis chapter 28. Thank you, Pastor Sam, for the video and the message that touches our hearts. And Pastor Shabelli, the message on the Moravians and the amount of activity and work that they did, 1740 something in those years. They had even built ships to carry their missionaries to obscure parts of the world. Moravians were in Greenland, reaching Eskimo, South Africa, the Caribbean. There's a story of two Moravians that went to a leper colony, gave their lives, never exited the leper colony except through heaven. They were highly committed, born-again believers. They believed that
the heathen, people without Christ, should hear. And so they went from what's today Czechoslovakia. They left their village, Herrnhut. They built ships, as I said, not usually. They usually got on board ships that already were traveling. And they said goodbye to their families, and they paid a high price. I'd like to talk for a few minutes about a very interesting portion here regarding Jacob and something that happened to him. Where are we? Sorry. Genesis 20, 28 and verse 20. Praise God. Jacob vowed a vow. What is the word vow? A promise. He made a promise. Has anybody here made a dumb promise? Yeah, under pressure. Maybe made it, even signed a contract, a business contract, and you regretted it later. There are teachings in the scripture about vows and how important they are. When we take up the cross, when we become believers and we trust God, and we find that God is real, our vows get easier. It becomes even like a habit or even a way of life or maybe even woven into my soul. I believe this. But when I start, I may not believe it so much. I may not be persuaded so much. I think many of us, when we started to go to Bible college and take God seriously, it was a little bit of a risk. Like, I think so. I'm not sure. Maybe this is real. Maybe this is true. I am not fully persuaded or convinced. This happened to Jacob. And he says this to God in chapter 28, verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." Another way of reading that is, I'm not sure. God is not my God. Yes, he is my granddad. Abraham said so, but I'm not fully convinced. But if I go and I come again and he has taken care of me, then he is my God. Vows are promises. We make vows. Pastor Shabelli said, God has made promises to us. Yes, he has. But we may not believe them. Of course not. Most of the world does not believe them. Actually, they don't know about them. Actually, they don't know about God. Not to say his promises, but his nature and his character. How many people live in unbelief or their own concept of God? But you and I are, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a peculiar people. This is a great word. We are different. We are a different people. Sometimes I use the word strange. I know that I am strange. I know that we as a people are strange because we are believing, like we said, in the top shelf of the refrigerator or up above high, unreachable things that we believe in. They are not seen. It's hard to study them. It takes some imagination to believe in heaven, angels, to believe in the resurrection. It's so easy to go to the cemetery and see the body lowered in the coffin, lowered in the grave, and walk away wondering. But we are peculiar. We've been brought into a family, and that family is the family of God. He is our Father, and He gave us His Spirit and His name. We are persuaded. I think some of us in the room are more persuaded than we've ever been persuaded. Therefore, it is easier to make vows. But a vow may be a good beginning. Like if I go to the mission field and I come back and I can bear witness to the fact that God moved, that lives were changed, that the Spirit anointed us, that we had tears, persuasion, joy, peace, then God is the God of the Great Commission. Great Commission, it is great because it is not men making promises or building empires or companies, but it is God's Great Commission manifesting His Son. It is great because the Spirit that does it is a great Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It is great because the message of it is life-changing. I am forgiven of all my sin. My name is in the book of life. How could it be greater than to be told in Luke 10, my name is in the book of life, eternal life? It is a great commission because it comes from a great heart, God's heart. I love people. I gave my Son for people. It is a great commission. We could use this little story about Jacob making a vow for us, because when it's starting here, he doesn't know how it's going to go. But if he comes back and he can say, God has taken care of me, then God is my God. This week, we'll have our fellowship based on this. We went and came back and say, God is my God. Years ago, there was a pastor in Canada, and he said to the church, we can support missions, not our tithing, but our faith. Not our every monthly income and money, but faith. Because he was a pastor that believed in missions and just didn't have money for it. But he said to the congregation, you can give every month some money, and you decide if it is $10 or $30 or $50 or $100. Every month, it's between you and God. You can hear from God, or according to the measure of faith. And you are saying to God, God, I believe by faith you will give me an extra $30 a month that I will give to missions. And I promise, as you give me that money, that I will give this $30 every month. Something like $1 million a year, the church grew in size. People were giving their small portions, but they were rejoicing in what was happening. They would say at the end of the year, it is true, God gave me the money every month, and I gave it to the missions. And I think this was People's Church, Oswald J. Smith or Sanders was the pastor. You can check it out and Google it if you like. Not now, but... you know, we adopted that. We adopted it. And I can say, I don't handle my finances that you know, my wife handles it. And we give. She's very generous. And we're on the same page regarding this. We just give. And I can say, you know, that I don't know the whole story, but I know that when Jacob came back 20 years later, he returned, and he was a wealthy man, and he came back, and he said, God is my God. Not because of my grandfather Abraham or my father Isaac, but I found personally that he is my God. But I don't think it is only in the area of finances. I think it is also in the area of our personal victories in life. That I got freedom from a bad habit or from a bad attitude, or I found my life in Christ enriched. We have all the more reason to say to our grandchildren, it's true. Our children, our schools, our fellow disciples, when they hesitate because they're in another station in life and they need somebody to say who's been there and done it and come back and say, give God your whole life. Give him your whole heart. You'll never be dissatisfied. Give God everything you got, every day of your life, all the time. Never outgrow being a laid-down servant. You'll be shocked, amazed, filled, satisfied, peculiar, and different. You'll have some salt and light in your heart. You'll not be like everybody else. You know where everybody is today in the United States of America? They're watching their 7-year-old play soccer. They're at the gym getting a workout. They're on a treadmill. They're hanging out. They're sleeping in. They're eating an extra donut. They are fishing and recreationally, and our country is suffering because they have not found God. When you find God and you make God high priority in your heart, you find yourself with the people of God. But instead, people are poor in their hearts, without friends, lonely, rich but poor, seeing but blind, have everything but have nothing. If I do not have God, I have nothing, and I have a great privilege of saying to my family, my children, grandchildren, the body of Christ, the teenagers on the street, to say to them, come on, Jesus Christ makes you peculiar. You have an amazing message now, a great cause and purpose. You have great prayers that are answered, constantly answered by God. You have great peace where you can sleep at night without medication. You have great content in your conversation and in your reading and meditation and in your life. You have a great calling of God in your life. You have a great church that is doing something by God's grace. And we come back and say, God, I will promise to you. I will make a vow to you. I will trust in you. And I will do it by faith. And you will make it happen. You will show me who you are. Isn't it true? It's amazing. So that's the message this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, you have called us, spoken to us, led us, sent us, and we have come back bringing our sheaves with joy, saying in our hearts, it's true, our God is not like other gods. He is the only wise God, the true God. Thank you, Lord. We pray for our week, Lord, of fellowship in the mystery of who you are and the work that you have called us to do. The power of it, the reality of it. We are now more responsible than ever to say that God is our God and we are not ashamed. Our God takes us out of Egypt. Our God feeds us in the wilderness. Our God has us walk on water. Our God anoints us with fresh oil. Our God speaks to us in the night seasons. Our God guides us and leads us in the way we should go. We are so bold and confident in this work. There are needs, Lord, in Malaysia, Southeast Asia, in Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Burma. There are places we have never gone and may undoubtedly never will go. But some of us, some go and send us. Send us into parts of the world in Jesus' name, we pray. New Zealand, Australia, the islands in the South Pacific. Lord, send us, Lord, to the mountains of Laos. Send us, God, into the Philippines, where we are. But we are asking, Father, to put your hand on people and anoint them and call them and lead them. And for others that are here, that you would touch our pocketbook, that you would bless our monthly commitment, that we would raise funds as an assembly that would be used for worldwide missions, that we would help our people, that you would make things happen, that we would see missionaries and Bible schools and literature and help and all kinds of ministry happening. God, you are our God. You have done it and you will do it. We thank you for it today. If you are not a believer listening to me this morning, would you come to Jesus today by faith? You nor I nor any of us are able or worthy of any of these good things that God has ordained for us in Christ. It's all by His grace. Come as you are, believe in Jesus by faith. Believe in Him, trust in Him, and He saves you. He does. He saves you. Say, Jesus, save me. By faith in Him, you are saved. The Spirit will show you. And we will worship God and cry, Abba, Father, and know Him in a personal way. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for this great work. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, if the ushers could pass out the faith pledge forms, okay? Each one of you guys are going to get a faith pledge form, okay? And while they're doing that, I just want to remind you that this whole week is going to be Faith Promise Week. After each morning session during the convention, Faith Promise, there's going to be a Faith Promise table out here where you can ask questions, where you can make your pledges, where you can get informed about missionaries, or if you have any questions about missions, it's going to be right out here the whole week after the morning session. Then also on Friday night this year is the missions night, and we're also going to be out there then. So we're making this available for Faith Promise, because maybe you don't know a missionary. Maybe you don't know where to give. Maybe you don't know how to do it. And also out there, you can we'll help you go through the form, and you can completely do it with us if you have any questions. And I just want to say today, in these forms that you're actually getting, you can make your initial pledge on this card. You can put money in it. You don't write a credit card. If you're going to do a credit card donation, you have to do that online, okay? It's not something that you have. It's not something that is extra that you have. This is something, just like a missionary, where you're partnering with God, where you're believing this by faith, and you're looking for a blessing, and you're making a sacrifice. And there's an intimacy through the month of you thinking with God about how God supplies, and you're thinking with God about what God wants to do throughout the world. So the missionary pledge is our opportunity to be, you could say, one-minded, or to come together with this vision that we have for the world. And maybe you don't know what to do today. Put this in your Bible, and you're going to think, what I'm going to do with it is going to remind you. Maybe you want to take it home and pray about it with your wife, or pray about it for a couple days. We're going to be around all week. So take these forms, and you can go online, of course, even right now if you want to do that. Then also on the inside of the Wings of Glory, it gives you a list of some missionaries that have the missionaries that have been sent out from here. We just want to make this clear so that we're a part of it, so it's not something that only a few people have the opportunity to participate in, so we all do. So just think about that. We'll take a couple minutes here. As we dismiss, we're going to have ushers at the doors so that they can take your pledge forms. And you don't have to put them in today. You can pray about it. And also remember, there's people out here. If you have any questions about missions and how you can support Faith Promise, it's going to be right over here by the door. Thank you.